In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text is the lesson just read. Very interesting that when one studies the ancient world, there are certain cosmic shifts that we can see. One of those is the way in which the ancients held the priesthood to be central to their existence. We now have evidence from the plains of Mesopotamia that an enormous priestly caste served the population around the Great Pyramid vigorously. People wanted to be right with God. They wanted to consult those who knew how to get God's direction. They wanted, at their direction, to appease the gods when they were angry. This was a pervasive part of Mesopotamian culture and of Egyptian culture. Indeed, it also informed the way in which Israel viewed the Old Testament and its God. When you look at the central way in which Leviticus functioned for true Israel, for the remnant, priests were central, as was the sacrificial system. And today, in the letter of Hebrews, we see why. And the author of Hebrews can tell the people that he was writing to why, because they also lived in a Greco-Roman world where people sought priests. They wanted to be right with their God. And so we have records of the mightiest Roman emperors. Before they made one move toward battle or even conducted a marriage in their life, they went to consult the priest whom they had confidence in. Now, our world is very different, isn't it? How many modern people think it important to have a priest? Or we might say to have a pastor. They have grown up thinking that they can have direct access to God. And so their feeling, their current popular religiosity begin to assume a normative status. And they think that they have done away with priests. But of course, they haven't. One who's emerged, at least for a time, as a very popular priest or priestess is Shirley MacLaine. Shirley MacLaine on theology. I would say that the ancient Sumerians do not have to be ashamed. Their theology was as rich as the New Age movement. There were other candidates in our culture, self-help gurus, exercise advocates. We have simply exchanged priests. We have not replaced them or avoided them. And into such a culture, I believe it comes as great good news for us as Christians to announce that we have a priest. We have a great and wonderful and good high priest who was already foreshadowed in the work of Melchizedek, who was already there in Aaron's line in the great day of atonement, showing how salvation would come on a greater day of atonement on the cross. Our great high priest is celebrated by the letter of Hebrews. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, therefore, because we have such a great priest, therefore things follow. This high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, but one who in every way has been tempted just as we are, yet without sin. That's a remarkable statement. The author of Hebrews holds together the ascension and the incarnation. Our great high priest is so good because he truly knows the divine. He is true God. And he is so good because he truly knows what it is to be human. He is true man. And his grace is the costly blood of his sacrifice for those who will have him as their great high priest. We have him. Indeed, the author puts on a second great therefore. He says, therefore, approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find hope to help ourselves in time of need. Surely the people of God today at every level are in need of a great high priest who knows how to advise, and who redeems even before he dies. That priest, it is our privilege to announce. Indeed, as future pastors, you will unite infants with their great high priest in holy baptism. Through the power of the word and the application of water, you will do what remains ultimately a mystery, uniting a bewildered and a fallen human being with a holy and complete priest. Moreover, as the gospel is proclaimed, you will expound the wonder of this priest, how he didn't once do something, but how he continues to intercede for every child of his, for everyone who turns to him in contrition and prayer. And then, with your hand, and through the power of his word, you will bestow the very body and blood of that priest upon the lips of the faithful. The world needs pastors who are tied to this high priest. We don't need other categories, nice guy, mover and shaker, the type of model, a power broker, politician, whatever it is that pulls us away from our primary purpose of uniting people to their redeeming, saving high priest. Those things must fade. For we are confident. As the writer says, let us approach the throne of grace. It is a glorious thing now to come to the throne of God. We don't have to stand afar and let Aaron go into the Holy of Holies, but we can come because the great high priest is there to welcome us. As we wend our way toward his sacrifice in these Lenten days, as we move toward Jerusalem, let us announce to the world that they not only need a priest, but that they have a better one than they could ever construct. The precious name of Jesus and the announcement of his sacrifice in this Lenten season. God grant us that confidence and that grace through his Spirit as we kneel for prayer. Amen.